Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize that guy. We've got Lieutenant Randy Sutton, retired from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. He's the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. So thanks so much for being back on the show, Randy. Appreciate it. Hey, you know, if you guys are wanting to get your appetite wet on what we're going to be talking about today, I promised you some great, fantastic stories. So here's the order of what we're going to be talking about these things in. We have new migrant detention facility. And no, I'm not talking about Alligator Alcatraz. It's opening up in El Paso. It is going to be the largest in United States history. And it's going to open up on Sunday. Wait till you guys hear about that one. Yeah, that's, the first one. Well, the last one we talked about, of course, Governor Ron DeSantis here in Florida, where I'm at. But, we're hopping over to Texas, you know, and they've got it going on over there as well. Greg Abbott, the governor, great guy. Our next story, we got a Florida mom arrested after packing a gun in her child's backpack. I love the way the female sheriff handled things. And then we've got a Cheektowaga police officers fatally shoot a bad guy after he lunges at them with a knife. I would say that after watching the performance of the female police officer, Randy, standing in front of the doorway, there were probably some things to be learned from this one. Then we got a man charged after Houston police sergeant is shot in the leg during a gunfight. Then we got a sexual assault suspect injured in a Minneapolis Park police officer fight where the guy grabs the cop's gun and it goes off. Then we got a Pomona police detective shoots a suspect who presented a replica gun during a foot chase. That did not work out too good for him. And then the cop and the conspirators, a former Florida officer, is sentenced for illegally dealing firearms. And then if we have time to get to it, surveillance video shows a fatal crash. A 79-year-old bicyclist and a Martin County deputy. The sheriff's backing up the deputy as having done nothing wrong. It's a sad story with a video component. But hopefully we'll have time to get to that as well. So if you're ready, Randy, let's jump to Texas. Yeah, let's put the seatbelts on. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media News. New migrant detention facility opens up in El Paso, the largest in the United States history. Wow. Governor Greg Abbott's got it going on. A migrant detention facility of unprecedented scale is set to open Sunday in El Paso, Texas, according to federal authorities. Now, it's located at Fort Bliss. It's an initial capacity is going to be 1,000 migrants. But if that sounds like a little low, don't worry, because it's designed to expand to accommodate 5,000, according to the WCVB. Now, the Trump administration said the project will represent, quote, the largest federal detention center in history, unquote. And the opening comes about as President Donald Trump continues the efforts to locate and detain illegal aliens nationwide. So this is still a huge effort, guys. And thanks to the Biden administration, there is job security for all of our brothers and sisters who are doing Border Patrol ICE stuff. In a statement, Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security, Trisha McLaughlin, said that new funding has made the project possible. So if you're wondering where the funding came from, one big, beautiful bill that provided the historic funding for this. And you got to remember, I mean, look, you've heard a lot of downsides, not a lot of downsides, a few downsides for the big, beautiful bill, but it did finance this. And this is just spectacular. And if you haven't been paying attention, the Alligator Alcatraz happened overnight, right? I mean, that was just thrown up in like days. And then this thing is going, this is opening up on Sunday. This stuff is occurring extremely fast. Now, the detention capacity, here's what they're saying. The One Big Beautiful Bill provided the historic funding to help carry out the mandate. They secured enough detention capacity to maintain an average daily population, and this is of illegals, of 100,000 illegal aliens and 80,000 new ICE beds. Oh, wow. Now, Senator John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, you know, he went there toward the facility. And here's a quote saying, it's important for people to understand we're not talking about gardeners or housekeepers. These are people who did not show up to court-ordered hearings. Because of that, there's no due process concern. They have no legal right to be here, unquote. Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
We have observed that President Trump is absolutely resolute in his mission to fulfill his campaign promises. And the illegal alien situation, while it is very divisive, it's the majority of Americans believe that if you're an illegal alien, you don't have those rights. And unfortunately, this has been forced upon President Trump. Forced upon President Trump because of the last 4 years of the Biden administration, where they basically just opened the borders and allowed millions and millions of people. So if you have that one extreme that occurred under the Biden administration, where they just gaslighted the American people for years. Oh yeah, the borders closed. I mean, watching the lies come out of the Biden administration and that absolute lying piece of garbage, who was the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, watching them just boldface lie to the American people for years incensed me. And
Yeah.
now, because of their malfeasance, they have now caused this action by the Trump administration, which is distasteful. We're an open society. America is very welcoming, but you got to go through it the right way. If you look at it though, Chip, this is all the fault of the Senate and the Congress,
It
who
is.
for years have not taken the immigration system and created a fair, equitable system of immigration that was user-friendly, that was compassionate, and that was efficient. For years, they have denied do it. They have just denied their responsibilities.
You're right.
So if
During
you look
Trump
at
1.0, we had both houses, correct, for the first 2 years.
right,
We could
right.
have got it done. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, this is a failure of the government. This was a failure of the Biden administration, and now the Trump administration is trying to right the ship. And it's going to be a long, expensive haul.
Yeah, I agree. And rightfully so. Even though the conservative, I'm a conservative, but we bear some responsibility as well. We did not get it done, and that's why I'm really not in favor of lifetime, politicians, as I don't think, Randy Sutton is either. I know that there's a difference. The Trump administration still maintains, and I believe this. They're going after the worst of the worst. They're going after the criminals. I don't know that I really believe in all truthfulness that the American people really care. I think that, I mean, obviously we want, if anyone's going to go first, we would rather it be them. But, my wife's family, they came over here from Colombia, and, they did it the right way. They stood in line, they came over here, and they learned English. They took the test and the court and the, and became a U.S. citizen. So that is a slap in the face. So everyone that's come over here legally and done it the right way, what a huge slap in the face. And everybody that I run with in my circles, regardless of whether they're criminals or not, if they're here illegally, they want them gone, and they're willing to help foot the tab to get that done.
Yeah, and yet you still see, like today, that idiot Pritzker in Illinois, they're passing new laws to give money away to illegals.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's
it
insane.
makes no sense at all, but it is the delusional left that continues this weird thought process when it comes to people who are in this country illegally.
Hopefully people remember that they can vote at the polls. They can solve that problem. So, well, Randy, I forgot to do this at the beginning of the show, so let me do it now. Our sponsors, Gauze.com. I believe that there, Gauze is involved with the summit coming up, I believe. Is that correct?
We've had several conversations. I believe that Gauze is going to wind up being a really strong partner of the Wounded Blue.
I love it. I love it. Great people. Mike Fadden, the CEO over there. Great people over there. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor, got us on satellite radio. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells have built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. When you're driving the wife and the kids, the grandkids to Orlando, leave the car and drive. Don't even take your foot off the brake for a second. Leave it. Leave one foot on the gas, one on the brake. Let the wife and the kids or grandkids out, and then go to this bass fishing charter at fishorlandobass.com. And if you're feeling very adventurous, you can go alligator hunting. It's catch and release. They're not killing the alligators. It's a great opportunity. And TampaFP.com of Brian Burns. Thanks for carrying our content. Also Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, a good friend of mine, Randy's, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. So I think that we got the Texas thing out of the storyline, and we're coming up on our first commercial break, Randy. Let me just whet the appetite for the next story, and it's the school one. Florida mom arrested after packing a gun in her child's backpack. I'll let Randy handle the moral implications for this one. Guys, our first commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know that we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online options into it, it's almost limitless, right? But here's the important thing. I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support us, law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. And Randy just mentioned that he believes they're going to start sponsoring, you know, the summit, you know, the Wounded Blue. So when you're going to buy your gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, I just ordered a pair of boots, you know, from Gauls. Got them, and I showed them off on the show yesterday. They got great gear, basically everything but guns and ammo. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com, and they'll be your new best friends, Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, guys, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove, has helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. It said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game and go to Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com with a revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common-sense approaches that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And look, we left off. I kind of whet the appetite for the next story, so let me go ahead and jump into that. It's a pretty wild one. This is going to make the Tampa people look bad, Randy. But Tampa Free Press at the TampaFP.com. Florida mom arrested after packing a gun in her child's backpack. So yeah, it is in Tampa where I'm at. So a Florida mother was arrested, and she's facing multiple charges after a handgun was found in her child's backpack at Coppergate Elementary School. The incident starts at the beginning of the school day, and the school placed a secure status as authorities started investigating after they found the gun. So according to a report from the Clay County Sheriff's Office, because of course the Sheriff's Office is involved, a student inside the school opened the backpack and discovered there was a gun inside of it. Now, credit to the student. Now when I just stop right there, everybody's thinking, well, you know, your mind can go all kinds of places, right? You know, student brought the gun in. There's going to be maybe a planned school shooting, or he's upset at some kid that taking his lunch money. Oh, no. You know, so the student immediately notifies the teacher, who then alerts the supervisors at the school and law enforcement. So the weapon is quickly confiscated by deputies and an investigation starts. So the investigation revealed that the child's parents, who do not live together, they were at the center of this issue. So they learned that the mother, identified as Sierra Broner, she put the firearm in the child's backpack, elementary school kid, and instructed them to give it to their father before leaving for school. However, the father was unaware that the gun was in the backpack. He drives his kid to school, and as a result, the loaded firearm was brought on the school grounds. And Broner, the mom, was arrested without incident. She's been charged with child neglect and giving a firearm to a minor. She's transported to the Clay County Jail. Now, DCF, the Department of Children and Families, is involved as well. The sheriff, Michelle Cook, she highlighted, but she said a lot of things about, you know, parent, you know, educating parents, talk to your kids, look in their backpacks, ask questions, make, you know, to prevent this from going from happening again. But she highlighted the potential tragedy, stated that in this specific case, a poor decision could have had devastating consequences. And she's so right. She also praised the swift response of school resource deputies and detectives, as well as the partnership with the Clay County District Schools for their role in ensuring student safety. So I'm impressed with the way they handled this. I'm glad that they're publicizing this to get people thinking that, man, try to avoid something like this. But really, it's almost like at one point in the story, they were trying to justify giving the kid, an elementary, you know, school level kid, a gun, and the dad didn't know about it, almost like kind of whitewashing the incident. It's like, I hope that people watching the show and listening to it at least would never even consider doing something like that, Randy. But of course, I'm in Tampa, Randy. You know, it doesn't get any crazier than here.
I want to get her a Mother's Day card, because she is clearly a fantastic mother. Watching this story, I mean, all you can do is shake your head and go, how is this even possible? What kind of thought process? This woman doesn't have an IQ that reaches double digits, clearly. And her thinking process about sticking a gun in her child's backpack, it just defies any semblance of logic. But she's gonna face the music. I guarantee you that one thing though, I bet she doesn't serve any time.
Yeah, you may be right. You know, Randy, before the show started, you made a statement, and it's absolutely true. You were talking about, what kind of a chance does a kid like that have in life growing up?
Yeah. Yeah. Mom exactly. Like that? But well, I'll say this, that the kid had the good common sense to turn the gun in rather than either A, take it out and play with it, or B, just cover it up and go home and say, Hey mom, here's your gun back. You know, At least the kid had the common sense to do that, which of course is probably going to get him a spanking when he gets home.
Yeah. So anyhow, there's something to be learned from this. So hopefully the people that are watching the show,
he snitched off his mom.
Oh, wow. Wow. Hey, you know,
snitches get stitches.
Yeah. Now you're talking like my Colombian wife, you know, I got to sleep with one eye open, another sad day. So, but look, she is single. Her and the child's father are no longer together. So
I have a chance.
I can get her phone number for anybody on the show that's interested. If you guys are really getting desperate, I know Randy's not dead. Randy's never.
Oh, I did see a picture of her. She's
is she a looker?
Oh man.
Is she Walmart looker? Yeah. Okay. I thought that's what I thought.
If you like your chicks by the ton,
she's okay. All right, I get it. There's a difference between Walmart and then a Florida Walmart looker. there's a clarification there. All right, we got less than 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and jump to a story that's got a video component. So this one at Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Cheektowaga, that's a very interesting name, by the way, police, they fatally shoot Hugh Davis Jr. after he lunges at them with a knife.
Sure. Oops. I'm just trying to knock. Oh, shit. This thing wasn't even on.
What do you want, police? What's that about
you? He's got a knife. He's got a knife. Drop the knife. Drop it. Drop it.
Holy fuck. You guys good?
We're good.
Oh, shit. This thing wasn't even on. What do you want, police? What's that about you? He's got a knife.
I'm watching this in the beginning and I'm thinking, man, this has got to be like a different country, right? I'm thinking this may be like across the pond, you know, in England or somewhere, but nope, Buffalo, New York. So Cheektowaga police, they released body cam footage of the incident that happened last week when officers shot and killed a man they say lunged at them with a knife. And there is video. certainly showing him do exactly that. The video shows officers at the door of an apartment in Buffalo, New York. This is on August the 13th. And when they're there to arrest this guy, Hugh Davis Jr., for an August 11th incident, it's alleged assault at the Fairfield Inn, the place to stay apparently in that area. Police said that Davis, he's 60 years old. He got upset when he got a credit card charge added to his bill for allegedly damaging a TV. And he ended up throwing objects at the hotel manager. And she was scared, ran to another room. And then he's accused of punching a building superintendent, caused a brain bleed. And that guy's in an induced coma in the local hospital right now. So this is a bona fide bad guy. So guys, stick with us. We're going to come right back and finish this story. Our next commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. You know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And right now, that's not all. The M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, so they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up tomorrow, community caretaking. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today. Join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department. He's also the founder of The Wounded Blue at TheWoundedBlue.org. We left off talking about a story that's in Buffalo, New York. Cheektowaga police officers, they fatally shoot a guy named Hugh Davis Jr. after he lunged them with a knife. So our officers are responding to a complaint about a guy. He got upset because they tacked on a charge for a TV set that apparently he damaged where he lived. And then he put a property manager in the hospital with a brain bleed, and they had to induce a coma. So not a good guy. So the video shows the officers repeatedly knocking on the door of his apartment. It's a wooden door because it only holds up for so long. And then, of course, the window of the apartment, they're knocking on that too to try to get him to come out. They eventually encounter him in his apartment doorway after they knock it down. So it's kind of humorous watching the body cams as you got a female standing in front of the door with her back to it. And she's knocking with her hand, not even looking at the door. She's facing away from the door. She's facing kind of towards the guy that's wearing the body cam. We got two male officers and we have the female. But literally, her back is to the door. And, of course, cops that have had issues like this, you know, you're having a guy, he doesn't want to come out. And, you know, if he was to open up the door or simply just shoot a gun through the door, she would have been told. You could tell she had some kind of a ballistic vest on under her shirt. And it looked like the other guys had them on outside their shirts. That was the only difference, but just stupid stuff. And so then as they're knocking on the door, they see it start to give way. There's a big, huge panel. It's almost the entire door. And it starts to come out of the frame of the door. And they see that happening. And then they just strategically hit it and boom, it does come out. When the panel falls inside, it almost looks like it lands on the bad guy inside and he goes down with the panel. He gets up, he's got a knife in his hand and he lunges forward and he takes a stab at a male officer who backs out of the way just in time. It misses him. And then the female, it's a very confined place. It's a stairwell. And one officer goes down the stairwell. The female goes back in this area and our officer with the original body cam, he has to put three bullets into the bad guy to keep him from stabbing the female. And now our bad guy rolls down the staircase towards one of the male officer that's down there taking cover. you know, this bad guy's rolling down towards him with a knife in his hand. So that's kind of the way that it goes. The bad guy was pronounced dead at the scene. I've got a ton of notes. I've kind of given you guys the highlights. Randy Sutton, take it from here.
I was a little confused watching this. I was a little confused at the tactics being employed here. put it that way.
These are advanced techniques, Randy. Advanced.
Wow.
This is New York style.
So this took place in the city of Buffalo. There's three police officers from another jurisdiction that have gone into Buffalo to make the arrest. First of all, my question is, why weren't there Buffalo cops there? The arrest is taking place in their jurisdiction. I mean, maybe that's the way things work. I know that if somebody came into Las Vegas to effect an arrest, they're going to have Vegas Metro police presence, if for nothing else other than for situations like this. So now an officer-involved shooting takes place, which is going to be investigated by Buffalo PD. They're nowhere near the scene, right? So what a mess. Now, I didn't know whether they intentionally knocked that door because they were banging on it so hard that the interior panel fell out. But then the whole door came down.
Yeah. So you could see the male officer when she was knocking, he looked at the door and you could see it starting to split a little bit. And then he raised his hand and he hit it right in the spot where it was. And then he goes, "Oh crap," you know. but when he did that, it was just theatrical. In my opinion, it was totally planned out. But then it made me wonder about the justification for going. Look, you had a guy, you're doing a criminal investigation, but the justification of going in and grabbing this guy. Well, don't worry. He ended up coming out after him. I'm thinking about officer created jeopardy is what I'm worried about. Just like what you're thinking. So,
yeah. So if it's intentional that you are making an entry into a domicile, yeah, that's got, you know, search and seizure issues all over it. So that's why I didn't know whether this was accidental or not. But I tell you this, that female officer, she never even touched her gun.
Did you see her after I hear what she said? She moved her lips with the F word, it looked like, right after this thing went down and they shot the bad guy and he goes down the stairs. She was just like, oh, and she used the F word. She was just like, oh, crap. I can't believe. Yeah, she's lucky to be alive.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was a good one to watch.
Yeah, so I'm sure that the guys with that agency are fighting for her to be their partner. Wow.
Oh boy. Yep.
All right. So yeah, you just can't make this stuff up. The video. This may be one of the videos that people. It may be worth you guys watching. So look, if you're listening by audio, your favorite podcast or radio station, stay loyal to those outlets that are going to great lengths of bringing you good quality content in return for that. That's why we describe in great detail what's going on. We try to create that visual picture for you guys. But if we have a video that you got to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. Producer Will take the copy of the live show from the day before, and he'll embed every video that we talk about and put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys. And that goes up at 9 Eastern time the very next day. And our live show is Monday through Friday, and those special videos come out Tuesday through Saturday. So you always have that option. So, Randy, you ready to move on to the next story with a video component?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Let's see our next one here. We've got Rumble.com. This is Butter the Channel again. Man charged after Houston police sergeant is shot in the leg during a gunfight.
Put your hands in the air! Fuck, he's got me, goddammit!
Clear.
Put your hands in the air! Oh! Fuck! Fuck, he shot me, goddammit! Officer shot.
.13-04, I am shot, but I'm up and moving. God.
Shots fired. Roll you, man.
Hey! Tourniquet.
Fuck, he got me, God.
Shots fired. Roll EMS, suspect down.
So this man is accused of shooting this Houston cop. It's a sergeant during a gunfight, and where the man was also shot and remained hospitalized on Monday, as officials announced that he had been formally charged in connection with the shooting. So Bobby Jose Alvarado, 36 years old, ended up being charged with two counts of aggravated assault on a peace officer, according to a Monday news release from the Houston Police Department. So the cops at 11:35 p.m. in the evening on Thursday, they get there in Houston where a guy with a gun starts shooting at two sergeants. And one of the shots strikes a sergeant in the leg. Now, the cops are getting out of a car, and they both have access to long guns, which I was impressed with, and are bad guys in the middle of the street. But there seems to be some distance. It's really hard to get a good bead on what he has, like what he's carrying and shooting with and stuff. Alvarado, our bad guy, was shot in the incident as well and remained hospitalized on Monday morning. So one cop and this guy goes to the hospital. The sergeant injured in the shooting was identified as Sergeant Paul George. And it goes on to say that he's a 27-year member of the Houston Police Department assigned to the Southwest Patrol Division. And after being shot in the leg, he was transported to a local hospital where he was treated and released. He applied to tourniquet as well. An 11-year officer with Houston as well, and fellow Sergeant Kate Birch was also discharged a service weapon and shot at the bad guy, and he ended up not being injured. So going to my show notes here, we got the two sergeants confront the gunmen. So we got two sergeants riding around in the car together, which is a little unusual. And the guy's in the middle of the roadway. At the 1:15 mark, the suspect starts firing, and I mean, this is immediately at one of the sergeants, and hits him in the leg. So the sergeant that gets hit is on the driver's side of the car, and he's got a pistol out, but the bad guy unloads on him. And so the sergeant fires, but he's hit. But then he gets his, as he's going around the rear of the car and going to the passenger side, he gets a long gun. He's got a rifle. And then if you jump to 2:08 mark, it's worn by the sergeant who got shot. Anyhow, it shows the sergeant's radio communications. He's applying the tourniquet. And he goes, "Man, I'm bleeding like a son of a." And the officer, he started off with a pistol, goes to the transition to the good to the rifle, which was impressive. The other sergeant had a rifle as well. Suspect grabbed him later on, put him in the hospital, and he actually ended up surviving. So we got 1:20, Lieutenant Randy.
That police sergeant is one tough son of a gun.
He is.
I mean, the fact that I couldn't tell the distance between the suspect and them, and how he hit that sergeant, I don't know, because the sergeant was using the door for cover. Yeah. And they were doing everything right. But I'll tell you, you talk about a warrior. Here, this guy is shot. He announces it, "I'm shot," but he says, "I'm up." And he goes after this guy.
He's advancing on him, yeah.
It is impressive. These are some tough cops. And they took the situation. They were calm. The guy is bleeding like a stuck pig, as he said. He applies the tourniquet himself. He is. I tell you, man, these are cops. These are cops. I was really impressed. And I mean, the warrior spirit lives on in Houston. I can tell you that. I don't know how this guy survived it, because they threw some lead downrange.
There certainly was some lead flying around. So in the distance. But we're 5 seconds away. Another commercial break. How does this happen? Stick with us, guys. Commercial break here. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, it's law enforcement officers. We deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, certified, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, the founder is Dan O'Kelly, and he's got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Great opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department. Randy, the last story that we were talking about, video number two, any more commentary on that one?
No, I think all I want to say is that I was proud of those cops. Thank goodness the officer came out okay. But I mean, they were the police, and there was no doubt about it. They were large and in charge.
Yeah, no doubt. And guys, long guns, I love it. The more cops with these long guns, it's saving lives. Wow, that is just a beautiful thing. Especially when it looked like there was distance. So long gun definitely makes a difference. Unless you're a bad guy, then you can just shoot with a pistol and hit whoever you're aiming at, right? From the distance. I know, it's just the craziest thing. Now, Randy has a book that's come out. And Randy, I think the book, from what I understand, is pretty successful. Rescuing 911. Tell us about your book and how they can get hold of it.
It is an Amazon number one bestseller. And it is this 2 years of work. Every aspect of how we got into the criminal justice crisis and how we need to work together to get out of it. There's some very timely stuff in here. Rescuing 911, the fight for America's safety. Go to Amazon.com and grab it. And the other thing that I want to talk about is the Wounded Blue. Our survival summit is coming up September 22nd through the 25th. This is a very unique conference. If you're a law enforcement officer, I would say that this is, if you have one conference to go to, this is the one. And because of the patriot who wants to remain anonymous, and Morgan Langley, the executive producer of the TV show Cops, any officer who has been injured in the line of duty or is having some post-traumatic stress issues gets in for free. They're paying for you to come to the summit, and or not to come to the summit, but the entry into the summit. So that's $400 that is being waived because of Morgan Langley from Cops and a Patriot. So go, but you need to contact me directly. Randy@thewoundedblue.org, Randy@thewoundedblue.org. We've had a couple people that have seen me on this show talking about it that are coming. I urge you, contact me, Randy@thewoundedblue.org.
That's what it's about, guys, getting the information out there. So thank you. It makes me feel good knowing that we've got Randy on the show and that you guys are listening and taking advantage and contacting Randy and making it happen. So that's what it's all about. If we can just help one guy, you know, I know Randy feels the same
way.
They help a lot more than one, but just one guy, it's all worth it. You know, I support the Wounded Blue monthly. I encourage everybody listening to the show or watching the show to do the same thing. It's not an organization that's going to embarrass you. It's not like giving money to like Black Lives Matter and they're going out and buying mansions and all kinds of stuff. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, being embarrassed, and I can trust these guys with how the money and the funds are being used. And
we actually had a milestone. We have paid more than $1 million in the last year to help fix police officers who have been severely injured and thrown away by their departments. It is amazing the lives we have changed.
Yeah. And so, and even like me, so Randy is much better at doing stuff like this than me. And I know there's a lot of cops that are like me or like in my shoes to where, you know, we're guys like us are better off supporting guys like Randy that are just built in a way where they can get it done and they're motivated to get it done. And they need your support. So I love monthly support. I think that's where it's at. It helps them plan budgets and be able to plan things and what they do. one shot time in the arm or shot in the arm is okay, but it's hard to plan, you know, that monthly residual income. And just give them your credit card. They'll let you do it monthly. That's the best way to help them plan. That's going to help them the most. So consider doing that, guys. So, all right. Good deal. Good deal. Good to be part of that, Randy. I sleep better. I really do. I sleep better at night. I do. So moving along here, guys, we have a sexual assault suspect that is injured in Minneapolis Park PD, in a Minneapolis Park police officer. They grab the gun. There's charges involved. Let's go ahead and get to the story. Minneapolis, a 28-year-old Minneapolis man is accused of assaulting a police officer. He's trying to grab the officer's gun while it's still in the holster. And some of the stuff, I just don't know. You don't know how it happens, but during the arrest on the suspicion of sexual assault, this is when this thing goes down. So our bad guy's name, it is Tazrick Tobias Nall. And he ends up getting charged on Thursday with second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon and disarming a peace officer in connection with the incident. So according to a criminal complaint, Minneapolis Park Police, now not Minneapolis, but Minneapolis Park Police, they get called to Mueller Park on a report that there's an adult male suspect inappropriately touching children. So that's the first flag, right? An officer response locates a suspect in a nearby alley and tries to stop this guy identified as Ball, who fails to comply. Now, while trying to take this loser into custody, they get into a physical struggle. So both the bad guy and the officer, they both end up on the ground. The officer uses his taser on the bad guy, but he fights through it and he's not deterred. And then the bad guy allegedly starts going for the officer's gun, but it's still in the holster. Witnesses said that another officer observed the bad guy, Nall. He gets his hand on the cop's gun while it's in the holster. And at some point during the struggle, Nall gets his finger on the trigger. So I got questions, knowing how holsters are. We have level three holsters now and stuff. So I got questions about this, but the officer suffered minor injuries to his lower arm while it took multiple officers to get the bad guy in the custody. Remember, he fires the cop's gun. But it doesn't say the gun remained in the holster the whole time, whether it was partially out of the holster, whether there was a trigger guard, whatever. So Nall, the bad guy, spoke with the officers afterwards and admitted to wrestling with the officer. He said that he regretted grabbing the gun, but he tells officers that he was upset that he had been tased and he wanted to get control of the gun to fire a warning shot. That's just what he's saying. I don't necessarily believe this, but yeah. He admitted that he was trying to get the gun out of the holster to fire the gun. Nall told the other officers that the officer did not deserve a... He's going off on the officer that tased him. He said that that officer did not deserve a pistol and that he was going to F that cop's life up. He then pointed in the air with his hand, acting like he's firing a gun, and said, F you, F your job, lose your family. Now, Minneapolis police identified the park police officer as Officer Daniel McShane. He's been with the park police for 5 years, and he has more than 3 decades of law enforcement experience. Wow. All right, Lieutenant Randy.
So remember, this is Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, the area, yeah.
Yeah, so of course, Minneapolis, their criminal justice system has been pretty much destroyed by the liberal left there. Their law enforcement presence has been diminished by defunding, demoralizing. They don't prosecute half the crimes that they arrest people for. The entire department is in disarray. Now the Park Police, of course, is a smaller agency within the city, and they have jurisdiction over the parks. But I wonder what the criminal history is of this individual. I bet you that it's substantial, and I'll bet you that he probably has never seen consequences for his criminal activity and so felt emboldened enough to attack this officer. You didn't see any, the fact that they didn't shoot him, if he actually had that officer's gun, if he had possession of that officer's gun, then all bets are off as far as I'm concerned. So we don't have enough information to know about that. But, you know, this could have been another police funeral that we went to.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, from time to time, we'll have officers that are or bad guys that get their hands inside someone's holster and they'll end up pulling the trigger. Sometimes it's defective holsters or sometimes there's other stuff, like Randy said, that we just don't know. I had a fight with a bad guy and my holster was unsnapped. He got the gun out from under out of my holster about halfway, but I was laying on top of it, preventing him from pulling it out all the way. So technically, you could say it was holstered, but in that story, well, that story ended with him. He's got use of one eye after that fight, and there was a lot of blood because I had one finger available, and I was, man, I was working on that, just trying to get that sucker out of the socket. But
good.
Look, we're that's you know, that stuff that gives you nightmares afterwards, literally.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it's another great show, Randy. We covered a lot of great topics, so thank you so much. And you know, we have Betty Dunn on the show. She's a big fan of yours, Randy, and saying that she contacted an officer in Georgetown, Kentucky, shot by friendly fire, and told him about the opportunity with the Wounded Blue and the summit coming up. Yeah, so you're muted, Randy, but
thewoundedblue.org, and we'll, and if here's the other thing, we've had a couple officers that could not afford the airfare, and we've actually gotten some sponsors to make that happen in some sets of circumstances. So if that officer is in need, the Wounded Blue is there for them.
All right, beautiful. Thanks for that commitment. Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells, and FishOrlandoBash.com. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.